Good afternoon. You're listening to Matinee Classics on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell, and my guest this hour is Dr. Matthew Schlomer. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Amanda.
Matt is director of a band and instructor of saxophone here at the Interlochen Arts Academy. And Matt, I hear there's a concert coming up this weekend.
There is, yeah, on the 11th in the evening at Corson Auditorium, 7:30 p.m. And it's a collaboration of many varieties.
Great. Well, we're going to spend this 4 o'clock hour chatting about the concert and some of the music that you'll hear and some music this hour that corresponds to some of the ideas that will be presented at this concert on Saturday. So let's start with some music of Felix Mendelssohn. That'll get the ball rolling here for our conversation. This is one of the songs without words, the Lieder ohne Worte. This is the Frühlingslied or the Spring Song performed here by Anders Schiff. That was Felix Mendelssohn's Spring Song, or Frühlingslied, from The Songs Without Words. So, Matt, the theme of the band's concert this weekend is sounds, words, meaning. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect with that title.
Well, it's an evening that's going to ask some big questions and let the audience have some different artistic experiences to draw their own conclusions. The whole idea has been brewing over years, but it stems from the idea that sounds somehow convey meaning. And we have these patterns that we call words that we agree on vague meanings that kind of capture it. But what about just the sounds? You know, when I've traveled abroad, when I hear a language, especially when I don't understand, there's almost a feeling to it that that's outside of the meaning of words because I don't understand them. So part of the concert is just to look at what are those feelings. I recorded a few students reading from our student handbook in their language. And so if our listeners want to hear what this might be like, here's a Spanish speaker. This is off my iPhone here.
Uniforme y atuendo. El uniforme debe ser usado por todos los estudiantes durante el día en las clases o en cualquier lugar fuera de sus propias residencias.
Okay, so that's, you know, that's a Spanish accent. So here's another person reading in their native language. How does this make you feel inherently different?
学生应该在上课期间内除宿舍楼以外的其他地方穿着校服，其中校服的整洁是非常重要的。
So, I mean, unless we have people that speak Spanish and Chinese fluently, those have a different feeling. One's the Spanish is kind of rhythmic and energetic, and the other one has a lot of sh sh sounds, and it has more tonal sing-songy. So imagine growing up hearing that kind of an aesthetic around you all the time. How much of that forms who you are and how much of that forms the actual culture? And composers do this all the time, which is how maybe what might be interesting is to hear some Mendelssohn with words. But you have a quote from this last piece, didn't you say?
Yeah, okay. So Felix Mendelssohn wrote these collections of piano pieces called The Songs Without Words, which ties into this idea that you're talking about. Wait, it's a song, but it doesn't have words. What does that mean? And somebody wrote to Mendelssohn and had actually set words to his Songs Without Words and said, did I capture what you intended to say? And he wrote back to this person. He said, even if I had a particular word or words in mind when I wrote the songs, I wouldn't tell anyone because the same word can mean different things to different people. But the songs say the same thing. They arouse the same feeling in everyone. And that's a feeling that can't be expressed in words.
Yeah. And he not only sets a song without words, but he does it with piano, which has no sustain. I mean, once you strike the string, it just rings and dissipates, unlike a song or a voice. So somehow the idea of a song was trying to capture this message for him. Interestingly enough, to this theme, in that same letter, you know, he talks about that some people complained that he should use words because the music isn't clear enough, and that he's saying, no, it's the opposite for me, is that a word ends up meaning so many different concepts than the sounds. And I that's kind of what we're exploring. So,
yeah, for Mendelssohn, the words were less specific than the music. For him, the sounds were more definite than the words themselves. But let's...
So, I mean, is it that when we don't have this comfort of a definition in a dictionary, is it just that we're not comfortable with that and the real meaning is in the sounds? Or... Which side do you fall on, Mendelssohn's or the people complaining to him?
Well, let's give it a try here, actually. So we just heard a Mendelssohn song, one of the songs without words, the spring song, the Frühlingslied. He actually wrote a song with words, a Frühlingslied, that was for soprano and piano. So let's hear a piece with the same title, but with text. This is soprano Barbara Bonney and pianist Jeffrey Parsons.
Thank you.
Felix Mendelssohn's Spring Song, the Frühlingslied. And before that, we heard a song without words by Felix Mendelssohn for solo piano. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for tuning in this 4 o'clock hour. We're chatting with Dr. Matt Schlomer about the collaborative concert coming up this Saturday here on the campus of Interlaken. It's called Sounds, Words, Meaning. So, a song with words and a song without words.
Well, I don't know how many German speakers we have, so that
you'd be surprised.
But the word, you know, in that, now you have the song with sustain. It definitely changes the aesthetic rather than just piano. And then you also have words that you can, if you can imagine you're understanding the words, it changes things. And in the same way, you might say that taking pure music, sound of words, would change for a poet when a poet is using the sounds as a sculpting element, but then also they're dealing with the meaning of the text. You can't get away from that if you're speaking someone's native language. They're combining to create something altogether special. Like, why would we have a differentiation between poetry and prose than a great novel? Why is that even considered different? Because there's some extra attention to sound and rhythm.
That was always one of the interesting things for me reading Shakespeare, is when it would change from poetry to prose, and what was the significance there of changing the way that the characters spoke and what that meant about them as well.
And to be this idea of pairing music with text is a very ancient technique, and there's examples of text painting where there would be a song with words and in a choir setting, and the composer would use the words and try to make a metaphor with sounds to enhance the meaning of the words. It happened in madrigals quite often.
Yeah, and we actually have an English language madrigal that demonstrates some of those text painting properties, and this was something that composers of madrigals really liked. Madrigals were a really social activity in the Renaissance period. You'd gather with your friends and, you know, five or six parts and all sing together. And this is one of the few social situations where it was okay for men and women to spend time together. So madrigals are naturally a little flirty, a little fun. This particular one's by Thomas Wilkes. And as I said, it's in English, but we'll hear some text painting throughout. Some of it's very literal. It's quite literal in a number of places. It's on the word descending, the music goes down, and on the word ascending, it goes up. And there will be passages of then two by two, which is sung by two voices, and three by three, three voices, and all together, it's sung by all of the voices. It's really quite charming. Anything you want to add, Matt, before we listen?
No, let's take a listen.
Okay, this is Chanticleer.
Shepherds of the twain, with the shepherds of the twain.
running down the hill, running down a main, running down a main, running down a main. Could you tell the text painting?
Yeah, exactly. All long live Oriana.
We heard Chanticleer singing an English language madrigal by Thomas Wilkes called As Vesta Was from Latmos Hill Descending, and Vesta was another nickname for the queen.
So Amanda, I think it's fascinating, this idea of using descending and ascending. It shows us this idea that sound can convey some kind of a meaning. And I think everyone agrees that music sounds like it's going higher and lower, but what's interesting is it actually doesn't. The frequencies of the sound waves are going faster or closer together and longer, further apart. So it's actually a speed thing, but yet we get this metaphor of going up and down. And so this type of metaphor that sounds can make has been exploited over the years to be more than just up and down, but to have this idea of harmony giving us a feeling of something, and certain rhythms make us feel certain ways. So it's very interesting what composers have done throughout the centuries after this.
Yeah, there's definitely a linkage between basic physics, right? The faster the vibration, the higher the pitch, and the slower, the lower. And of course, you know, basic size analysis, the small instruments have the higher pitches and the larger instruments have the lower pitches. But I think you're also talking about just sort of a general resonance, right? And what evokes our certain emotions as well.
Yeah, exactly. In the same way that those languages, without having words we understood, made us have certain feelings. Again, like the Spanish, maybe we had more energy and more vivaciousness. And then the Chinese, to my ear, sounded a little more song-like and had that kind of a hush, hush, hush sounds in it that gives you almost like a sense of an ocean. In the same way, the composer is going to start taking instruments that are high. And there's just something about, say it's just a piccolo. There's no way you'd say a piccolo represents like a freight train. like there's certain things that get excluded. It's not that it has to be a certain thing, but yet there's certain things that just would never fit. And when you start pairing things together, more complex rhythms and orchestration, you can start really having some fun. So if we will, we just listen to something that had words, mm-hmm. and let us compare them. Let's take the words out again.
Okay.
And this is actually something I think you have from our concert that's coming up on Saturday. And the composer takes music without any words, but yet calls it a poem.
Right.
What in the world is he trying to convey by attaching that?
So let's, shall we listen and then we can talk about it?
Okay. That sounds great.
It's called A Poem for Flute and Orchestra. It's a very straightforward title, yet as we're discussing, what does it mean to have a poem but without words? The composer is Charles Tomlinson Griffiths. Let's hear his Poem for Flute and Orchestra. This is the Buffalo Philharmonic, conducted by Joanne Folletta, and this recording features flutist Carol Winsense.
Thank you.
The poem for flute and orchestra by Charles Tomlinson Griffiths. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for tuning into Classical IPR this afternoon. My guest is Dr. Matthew Schlomer, and we are talking about the upcoming Interlaken Arts Academy Band concert this Saturday. It's called Sounds, Words, Meaning. And Matt, it's a collaborative concert, right? So the creative writing department is involved as well?
Yes. Several of the creative writing students are going to be performing as well. They have some poetry that they've used as kind of a mashup where there two or three poets have written something separately and then come together and combine them to see what kind of meaning could come as a result of that. Again, taking our assumption of what words mean and the sounds of those and just seeing what would happen if you take meanings from three sources and put them together, what happens to the perhaps a new meaning or your relationship to the sound of those words. There's another student who's written some poetry and who's going to perform that in a spoken style with a beatbox flute player that we have on campus.
My goodness.
It's quite extraordinary, actually. And then there's another student who's going to be performing another poem of their work.
So we have these poems that are sort of what I think of when you say poem, a person reading a text that they've written. But we just listened to a poem for flute and orchestra that had no text. And the piece that we just heard, this poem, will be performed.
Correct.
Saturday. So how does that tie in with the concepts you're presenting in this concert?
Well, we'll give the audience an occasion just to, again, look at their relationship to words, how they're hearing them, and what the composers might be trying to do by using the word poem. Maybe it lets the audience listen in a way they haven't before by juxtaposing these next to each other. After we perform the Griffiths poem, then we're going to move into the idea that language gives you a story too. And when we're using language, we love reading novels. Lots of great movies are based on novels. So words, not only it's the sound, but somehow it weaves a tale. It takes us to a different time and place. And composers do this all the time, which we call program music, telling a story through music.
Yeah, and one specific example of that is the tone poem, or the symphonic poem that composers, particularly in the 19th century, would write. You know, Franz Liszt was one of the first, but Richard Strauss was a composer of many of these tone poems where they were musical depictions of a complete story.
Yeah, and a poem, by the very title perhaps, might make us think we have more subjectivity. It gives us room to interpret, and we don't have to take it literally. But some of his work was also very literal. For instance, the Don Quixote piece he wrote is very much a tale that adheres to a story, a narrative. And yet he uses all of these interesting sounds to achieve that. You know, the Don Quixote is represented with a cello. Why a cello? Why not a clarinet or a flute? It would be a different character. So that sound of the cello. His comic sidekick, Sancho Panza, is described with a viola, a tenor tuba, and a bass clarinet, all perhaps more unusual sounds that we don't hear very often in
and
a soloistic way.
All right in the same range. So if it's his voice, you can imagine it being spoken at about the same level as well. And so if I know the story of Don Quixote, why wouldn't I just stay home and read my Cervantes as opposed to going to a concert and listening to the Richard Strauss tone poem in which he musically depicts this story.
So isn't that the great mystery? You know, why can we listen to Morgan Freeman, the actor, say anything? He could read from the phone book and we would be entranced.
the joy of cooking.
so why is that?
Yeah. Well, let's hear a couple of movements from Richard Strauss's Don Quixote. And I've chosen two short movements, one where we're introduced to the title character, and then the next one where we're introduced to Sancho Panza. And as Matt said, we'll hear the instrumentation there representing those characters. And then a later movement, which is the dialogue between the two. So you'll hear those two themes interact. This is the Gewandhaus Orchestra of Leipzig, led by Kurt Mazur.
Thank you.
We heard music of Richard Strauss from the tone poem Don Quixote, the dialogue between Don Quixote and Sancho Panza. I'm Amanda Sewell. I'm here with Matt Schlomer, who is the director of the Interlochen Arts Academy Band. They have a concert this Saturday night at 7:30, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
And tickets.interlochen.org if you would like to go. It's in Corson Auditorium. It's called Sounds, Words, Meaning, and we have been using sounds to make words to discuss the meaning of this concert all this hour. Matt, we heard the poem for flute and orchestra earlier, and I understand flutist Nancy Stagnita will be joining you as a guest this Saturday, and there's another guest as well?
Yes, well, we can't help but speak about language, words, meaning, and music, and not look at the development of that collaboration over the centuries, millennia, until we have this incredible American genre of hip-hop. So we actually have a prominent hip-hop artist coming from Detroit, Serene Poems. He's been on tour with groups like Public Enemy and all kinds of profound hip-hop artists to collaborate on a work that's going to be a world premiere, written Ooh. By Interlochen composer Thomas Childs, and it's looking at the life of Augustine. And so it's the culminating event of the concert in that it's now giving you poetry, it's giving you the sound of words, it's also giving you information now, which we haven't looked at, as well as this sculpted musical environment. So it's taking all of the things that we'll explore in the evening of together on Saturday and putting it all together. But this isn't, it's kind of in the ethos to give, to take history and things together. There's a very, I hear a quite popular musical that does the same thing.
Yeah, speaking of music and hip hop and new compositions and whatnot, we're going to hear music from Hamilton to wrap things up. And gosh, what can we say about Hamilton that hasn't been said already?
I don't think there's anything. But what's interesting to me is that people that have gone and seen it live say they're just astounded by how much information they get, but how at the same time they're moved so deeply with this idea of taking poetry, words, the sound of them, and music and putting it all together. I think that's the brilliance of the musical.
I think for me, it's just I thought, there's no way this can work. How could this possibly work? And so I went in with the highest degree of skepticism you can possibly imagine, and I still just had to pick my jaw up off the ground when it was done. You just would not think that all of these elements of Hamilton would come together to work in the way that they do, and it's astonishing.
Yeah, and if you can't make it to Hamilton, come to our concert Saturday, and you'll get a little piece of what it might be like. So.
Wow, well, there you go. So
we won't charge $350 for a seat either.
Yeah, well, there is that as well. So Matt Schlomer, thank you so much for stopping by to chat with us this afternoon. You can hear him and the Interlochen Arts Academy band and the creative writing program and several guest artists. Am I leaving anyone out?
Well, I think you haven't.
Okay, this Saturday night, tickets.interlochen.org. And let's have music of Hamilton to take us to the top of the hour. Composed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, this is Helpless. We'll hear Philippa Sue and Lin-Manuel Miranda in this recording.
Light. We were at a revel with about to change your life.
Then by all means, lead the way.
Elizabeth Schuyler, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Schuyler.
My sister. Thank you for all your service.
If it takes fighting a war for us to meet, it will have been worth it.
I'll leave you to it.
1 week later, I'm writing a letter nightly. Now my life gets better every letter that you write me. Laughing at my sister because she wants to form a harem.
I'm just saying, if you really love me, you would share them.
Ha! 2 weeks later, in the living room, stressing. My father's stone-faced while you're asking for his blessing. I'm dying inside as you whine and dine. And I'm trying not to cry because there's nothing that your mind can't do. My father makes his way across the room to you. I panic for a second, thinking we're through. But then he shakes your hand and says, be true. And you turn back to me, smiling.
I don't have a dollar to my name, an acre of land, a troop to command, a dollop of fame. All I have is my honor, a tolerance for pain, a couple of college credits and my top-notch brain. Insane, your family brings out a different side of me. Peggy confides in me, Angelica tried to take a bite of me. No stress, my love for you is never in doubt. We'll get a little place in Harlem and we'll figure it out. I've been living without a family since I was a child. My father left, my mother died, I grew up buck wild, but I'll never forget my mother's face, that was real. As long as I'm alive, Eliza, I swear to God you'll never feel so.
I dare with you, I do, I do.
Eliza,
I dare with you, I do.
I never felt so.
From Hamilton, the musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda, we heard Philippa Sue and Lin-Manuel Miranda in Helpless. I'm Amanda Sewell, and this is Classical IPR, your soundtrack from Northern Michigan. We spent this hour chatting with Matthew Schlemmer about the upcoming Sounds, Words, Meaning collaborative concert. That's this Saturday night here on the campus of Interlochen. We invite you to go tickets.interlochen.org for more information.